The Hector Q. Peabody Show.
But for some reason, Hector isn't here.
And in his place, this is Chuck Shaden.
And Dan McGuire. We're Hector's two assistants on the program, and we don't usually do much, but with Hector not here, we'll have to do something.
Right, and I imagine if Hector were here, he would start off the show with a record.
Well, I imagine he would, but I'm not much interested in hearing a record. Are you, Chuck?
No, I don't particularly want to hear a record, Dan.
Let's not play any.
All right, I'll go along with that. We won't play a record, okay?
Okay.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we thought of it, about the end have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear darling. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we thought of it, about the end of it, when we started painting that town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, goodbye, bye-bye, goodbye, baby and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
Say, Chuck, Hector has an announcement there to read. Would you like to do it?
Yeah,
I'll help you with it.
All right, I'll start it. Folks, everywhere you go these days, people are changing to Wispies. Yes, Wispy cigarettes are fast becoming the favorite of people from coast to coast.
And here's why. Wispies are not just plain-tipped. Wispies are not just cork-tipped. Wispies are steel-tipped.
Yes, that's right. Wispy cigarettes are steel-tipped. Thus, they not only filter the smoke on the way to your throat, they keep you from getting it at all.
What's more, Wispies never come apart at the end.
And you don't have to worry about losing Wispies. Oh, no.
Here's why.
When an ordinary cigarette falls out of your pocket, it sounds like this.
But when a Wispy cigarette with its steel tip falls out of your pocket, it sounds like this.
Right away, you know that you've dropped one of your precious Wispies and you pick it up.
And that's not the only advantage to smoking Wispies. There's more.
Yes, indeed. Friends, do you know anyone who is constantly borrowing cigarettes from you?
If you do, don't try to avoid them. Just give him a Wispy cigarette with a steel tip, but don't just hand it to him. Shove it into his mouth and knock his front teeth out.
He'll probably never try to borrow cigarettes from you again.
Now here's the best part about Wispies. Wispies cost no more than the brand of cigarette which you are now smoking.
That's right. Despite the high price of steel, new steel-tip Wispies cost not one cent more than the brand of cigarettes you are now smoking. So switch to Wispies today and you too will say,
Wispies for me. They petrify.
How true, how true.
Say, Chuck, is it time for our guest spot here?
Yeah, I think so, Dan. Wasn't there a guest waiting outside?
Yes, Hector has him in the closet. Would you like me to introduce him?
No, I'll tell you what, you go get some coffee and I'll...
All right, I'll go out for a cup of coffee and I'll see you a little later.
All right, swell. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives us great pleasure to have with us in our studio today a man whose face has been seen very little around the Chicago area, but whose work is known to literally three. Our guest is a painter of unusual skill and ability who, although he is new to the world of art, is fast becoming recognized as a menace to society. Here he is now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Madison Square.
Thank you, Chuck, and hello there, ladies and gentlemen of the literary world. Say, where did Dad go?
Oh, I don't know, just for coffee. Well, let's talk about you. What do we call you for short? Madison? I mean, we wouldn't want to call you Mr. Square, you know.
Why not? Everybody says I am.
Oh?
Sure. You know, people these days just don't seem to recognize talent when they see it. But I don't mind, because all really great painters have led pretty sad lives, and, you can call me Mad for short.
Well, okay, Mad. Now tell us just a little bit about yourself, won't you?
Well, I'm 22 years old, have lovely curly blonde hair, a terrific physique, and one black eye and one blue eye, and...
Wait, just a minute. You have one blue eye and one black eye?
Yeah, here, look.
Oh, yes, I see.
Well, that's about all, I guess, except my telephone number is Tumbleweed 86032.
Wait, just a minute, Matt, wasn't what I meant when I asked you to tell us something about yourself. You see, we invited you here so we could interview you.
What do you mean, we? I don't see anybody else around here. Say, where's Dad, anyway?
I told you he went out for coffee. Now, please pay attention to the interview. Mr. Square, I mean, Matt, when we interview you, we want to know how you work and the type of paintings you do and things like that, you see?
Oh, well, why did you say so? You know, I've never been on a radio show before, and I didn't know what you wanted me to say, so, okay, go ahead, ask me some questions. Go ahead.
Well, fine. Matt, what type of painting do you do?
Well, I specialize mostly in abstracts.
Abstracts? Well, just what exactly is an abstract?
Well, Chuck, it's kind of hard to explain. You see, an abstract is a legitimate type of painting, but actually it isn't a painting at all. It's only a lot of paint smeared all over a canvas with all different kinds of colors and shapes and like that.
Well, do people buy these abstracts?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've only been painting them for 6 months, and I've already sold, I'd say, about one. Easy.
They really go like hotcakes, hmm? Well, Matt, if these paintings don't have any picture, why do you suppose people buy them?
That's hard to say, Chuck. You see, the painters who do these abstracts claim they're just painting the scenes the way they see them. Although if that's true, then both of them must need glasses. However, you know how some people like to work crossword puzzles, and some people like to work the regular picture puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess people that buy the abstracts like to sit around and look at them and try to figure out what they are.
I see. Well, you say that most painters claim then that they are painting the scenes the way they see them. Isn't that the way you do them?
No, Chuck, it isn't. I like to be honest about it. When I paint an abstract, I just pour a lot of paint all over the canvas and smear it around. Most of the time, I don't even know what it is myself till I'm finished.
Well, would you mind telling us, then, how you got started painting them?
Well, that's an interesting story, Chuck. You see, I always like to work around the house and fix things up, see? Well, one time I decided the bedroom could use a different color paint on the walls. Well, I'd keep smearing a little paint on a piece of paper and hold it up against the wall so we could see what it's going to look like. But every time I try a color, my wife would look at it and say, I don't like that. Well, I went through about 20 different colors before I noticed that the paper I was smearing the paint on was beginning to look like something I seen in the Museum of Art one time. So I took it down there to enter a nationwide contest for amateur artists, and sure enough, they used it.
Oh, you mean you won a prize?
No, I didn't win no prize or nothing, but they used the painting to cover up a spot on the wall where the plaster was coming loose.
Well, that's certainly an interesting story.
I thought it would be.
Yes. Well, Matt, it was awfully nice of you to come down here and see us this afternoon.
Hey, don't you know where Dad is?
We'll look forward to seeing your work among the greats of all time. Thanks for being our guest here and telling us some very interesting things about abstract painting. Well, that was Mr. Madison Square, ladies and gentlemen, up-and-coming young painter from Chicago. Well, goodbye, Mr. Square. Thanks for coming. For Pete's sake, Joe, play a record, will you?
I had a dream, and I'll confess I hated it.
to awake. I dreamt I was an angel at the big golden gate. St. Peter said, why, hello there, where have you been? We've got your mansion ready, so come right in.
And then he rang for an angel to act as a guide.
I stretched my wings a time or two to learn how to fly.
Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you stroll down the golden avenue. There are mansions left and right, and you thrill to every sight. And the saints are all a-smiling, saying, howdy do to you. Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you realize your worrying days are through. You'll be glad you were a tire up, but time to read the Bible. It's a great, great morning for you.
Big parade going on there.
It certainly is.
But I didn't see my neighbor, Mrs. Jones, in the parade.
Well, she didn't make it here.
What happened?
She told little Pimp, and they don't let you in for that. Say, you're new around here. Come on over to 3rd and Hallelujah Street, and let's join the rest of the gang.
Oh, it's a great, great morning. Your first day in heaven, when you fall down the golden avenue.
Your first day in heaven, Jimmy Lydon and the Serenaders on the Hector Q. Peabody Show.
Say, friends, are you one of those people who have always wanted to go to an honest-to-goodness hunting expedition in Africa but have never done it because you feel that you're too inexperienced or you just can't afford it?
Well, now you can see your dream come true, because Bigelow's Bargain Basement is now offering a fantastic new kit called the African Safari Kit. With this kit, you can bring the African jungle right into your own home.
Now, here's what you get in this amazing new African Safari Kit.
First, a complete set of jungle trees, bushes, plants, and vines, which can be set up in your living room or den in less than 5 minutes.
Second, a real live 300-pound mountain lion, so that you'll have something to hunt. Now, there are no mountains in this kit, of course, only trees and so forth and so on. But don't let that worry you, because when the mountain lion sees that he has no mountains to climb, he'll immediately become belligerent, and this will naturally make it more exciting for you when you go hunting.
Naturally, you'll need a gun, so the next item in the kit is a set of two guns, a high-powered 300-05 Hardley repeater and a 12-shot 30mm Canover revolver for close scrapes. You need never feel insecure when you have these guns with you in your jungle, because both guns are freeloaders.
Now, you'll also want someone to guide you through the jungle and carry your supplies. So included in the kit is a real live pygmy who stands only a foot and a half high and speaks no English, but who knows the jungle like the back of his hand. He'll keep you company on all your trips through the jungle.
Finally, as a little something extra, you'll get along with your kit an autographed picture of Frank Buck waving goodbye to you and wishing you good luck on your expedition.
Now, this is a once-in-a-lifetime offer, and it may never be repeated, so don't put off getting your order in. To get your African Safari Kit, simply mail $40 along with three shrunken heads to
Safari, Outpost Number 12, Sahara Desert, Africa.
Thank you.
Ralph Martiri and the Bumble Boogie.
I don't know why we played that record.
Well, just for variety.
I didn't like it.
Well, that's neither here nor there, Dan. Anyway, the downbeat was terrific.
I still didn't like it.
Well, so forget it. You've got to take the good with the bad. That's life.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, look, over there.
Where?
There, in the corner.
Where?
Over there, quick.
I don't see anything.
Over there, next to the post.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
It's some kind of musical instrument.
What kind is that?
I think it's a cornet.
Yeah, that's right. Say, I think it was used in the big musical extravaganza, that musical pageant presented in the studio last week.
I suppose so. Say, you know, I think that program was heard by every woman in this area.
Well, how's that?
Well, it had a big build-up that the announcer was going to give some hints on good housekeeping.
Oh, yeah. Say, that announcer Jerry Harper sure has a terrific voice, hasn't he?
He sure has. I'd say he had a sort of a cosmopolitan accent, wouldn't you agree?
Why, certainly. He should, anyway. I mean, he goes to Europe every month.
You mean he...
Yeah, he crosses the Atlantic monthly.
Say, I understand he's a self-made man, too.
What do you mean?
Well, he was born on a farm down south, and he's quite a country gentleman down there.
Is that true? Well...
And before he became an announcer, he was a barker in a fair in Vanity, Tennessee.
Sort of a vanity fair, huh?
Right. And after he left the fair, he worked at a local television station as an usher.
Well, sort of a TV guide, hmm?
Right. Of course, you must know he's an amateur inventor.
Is that so? What has he invented?
Well, you know those combination clocks and radios?
Yeah.
Well, he combined a mirror with a radio.
And he got a radio mirror?
How'd you know?
Oh, they're very common nowadays. They're all the vogue.
Well, how big?
Didn't you know? Why, I've even got a radio with a phone attached, but it isn't working just now.
Why not?
Because my calls just aren't coming through.
Oh. Say, how did we get on this subject, anyway?
I don't know. Of course, it doesn't make much difference.
Why?
Because it's time for our next record.
If there's anybody here from out of town, step up and say hello.
Hi, Bing. How's every little thing?
No beefs.
If there's anybody here from my hometown, shake hands and let me know.
Why, there's little Joe out of Kokomo. Where I come from, the folks are neighborly.
Well, let's drum up some hospitality. So if there's anybody here from out of town, step up and say hello. Let me tell you, when I'm a roaming, I'm at home in any place you mention in the USA. Just a rover, stopping over, making some new friends on my way.
To Arizona, where I'm gonna miss the winter weather by the borderland. Then to Utah, on a hee-haw, riding through the Rockies and the Canyon Grand.
They expect us back in Texas, down in Waxahachie, cotton picking time. Why spend Christmas on the Isthmus?
The sun they have in Florida is mighty fine.
To New England in the spring, and then to take a summer by the Golden Gate.
Yes, sir. Howdy, brother. Have another. Here's to every state in the 48.
When I'm a robin, I'm at home in any place you mention in the USA.
Crowd me, boy.
Just a rover.
Crowd me.
Stop at over.
Say hello.
Making some new friends on my way. And if there's
to
anybody
Arizona,
here,
where I'm gonna
from
miss the winter weather by the borderland.
Shake hands.
Thanks to Utah.
And let me know.
Riding to the Rockies and the Canyon Grand.
Way expect us back in Texas. Down the Waxahachie, got pick in time.
So let's
drum
on
the Isthmus. The sun they have in Florida is mighty fine. But if there's anybody here
in the spring and then to take a summer by the Golden Gate,
step out,
howdy brother,
and say
have another
hello.
Here's to every state in the 48.
Well, we like to state that from state to state, everyone is raised in the 48.
Well, that brings to a close the first Hector Q. Peabody show. Minus, we're sorry to say, Hector Q. Peabody.
Yeah, it's too bad Hector didn't show up. Maybe he'll be with us next time, though. We hope so.
We sure do. And until next time, till we meet again, this is Chuck Shaden.
And Dan McGuire.
Thanking you for tuning in, mentioning that Joe Abrascotta was handling the controls. Choreography by Andy Devine. Gowns by Hector Q. Dior.
And sound by Marconi.
This has been a CLS production.
Hector, wherever you are.